All right, next is a real interesting young man. I say young man because I've known Barry Bloom for so many years. Let's bring in Barry Bloom. He writes for Sportico. How are you doing today, Barry?
Great, Bill. It's great to talk to you. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I know you like that term young man, right?
Oh, yeah. 68 years young.
That's good, right? I mean, hey, you woke up this morning with a smile on your face, right? So that's the key.
Right, I'm still kicking and stirring it up.
Well, I want to get right into it, Barry. The first COVID positive test with the Oakland A's happened yesterday, and I guess now they're in quarantine in Houston. I know you're a big COVID-19 kind of guy. Tell me your thoughts on that.
Well, I mean, as you know, I wasn't in favor of this, you know, right from the beginning, and it just seems that as it continues to spread and you're going to continue to have more teams, you know, MLB is going to try and get through this to the playoffs and the national TV money payday, no matter what happens. And so, you know, the A's are now the fifth team and the first time out west that some of this has happened. But it also doesn't surprise me that it happened in Houston, where you have a hotbed for this and they're out of their environment and they're traveling. And there's just so many things that can go wrong under these circumstances. You know, so I'm sorry to see it because they're having such a great season. And hopefully the test will come back and it won't be a rolling situation here like happened, you know, with the Cardinals in Cincinnati in particular. The Mets, they contained pretty quickly. The Mets only missed a few days. But, you know, with the Cardinals went back to miss 2 weeks of play. And they've got 7 doubleheaders they have to make up in September to try and finish the season. So it's just chaos. I wrote a piece about this on Friday, you know, that they're just trying to limp through the season at this point.
We're speaking to Barry Bloom on the pregame show. Barry, we're talking about the playoffs with the COVID, you know, containment, where the National League will be in Texas and the American League will be in Southern California, the bubble. Tell me your thoughts. Do you think this is going to work like they did with the NBA? And do you think this is something that is really what the players want to do and sit in their hotel rooms and be confined for a good month, probably?
Well, really, this only affects 8 teams, because when you come down to it, excuse me, you're having all the mini rounds are going to be in the home ballparks of the teams with the best records. Mm-hmm. So that's where your 16 teams, those will be 3 and out. You're down to 8 teams right away. You know, why the National League is going to the American League parks and the American League teams are going to the National League parks is beyond me. It doesn't make any sense. But who knows, that may be you know, conjecture at this point, because even though these reports have come out, MLB has not sent out a press release. They have not confirmed where they're doing this and who's going where. So I think it's probably more like it's going to happen, but a lot of the details are still up for grabs. So, you know, I think that playing the World Series, certainly in a dome where you have hotels in proximity to the ballpark, which you do in Texas, is a great idea, and it gives you climate containment. It gives you the ability to just take those hotels, buy them out. They become bubble hotels for the teams, and then you move them by bus over to the stadium back and forth, and they'd go nowhere. That's it. And that's essentially what the NHL and the NBA have done. And as you know, you've had – you know, no positive test coming out of either bubble since both sports went into it. In baseball, you know, the last of it this weekend was something like 75 new tests positive. The numbers they give out, they seem to fluctuate and go all over the board. A few weeks ago was well over 100. I think now they decided to give you, instead of redundant tests to the same people, they're giving you only new tests to different players. But it doesn't make any sense on how they're giving, you know, numbers out. It kind of mirrors what the CDC is doing nationally. In fact, everything baseball is doing is by the seat of their pants. And, you know, basically what's happening, it mirrors what's happening in the U.S. in this country. In Canada, which is why the NHL selected Canada, you have a contained amount of cases, contained amount of deaths, and you're playing in a place that is really constrictive on people moving around because of the COVID. And the NHL has been successful up there.
Boy, you're absolutely right. The NHL has just been outstanding. And, of course, Canada has been really down on COVID-19. One of the things I wanted to ask you was when the Cleveland Indians found out about Clevinger and Plesac, and they pretty much put him down in their secondary site. How do you think the Indians treated both of those guys? And now today you're seeing where Clevinger might be traded. Several teams want him. What did you think of how they handled that?
I think they handled it well. And you know, you had two issues here. You know, you had the issue with Plesac, who did it, and then he admitted it, and they sent him down. Then you had the issue with Clevinger, where they had a team meeting. He talked about it, didn't admit that he was out with Plesac that night, flew back on the team plane, and so then they sent him to the alternate site too. And I think there was a lot of sentiment among people among the team to send him out because he had lost total trust with these guys who are all trying to do their best to stay healthy. I don't want to be infected by somebody else who's not following the protocols. So I think they handled it really well. You know, obviously, you have an ability to do this in the fact that, you know, the union is going along with it and allowing players to be sent out under these circumstances, as long as I'm sure they're getting paid. Although, if you're supposed to be getting paid per game pro rata and you're sent to the alternate site, I'm guessing that those games that you were supposed to be paid for, you're not being paid. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot of questions there, but I do think the Indians handled it very well. And certainly it kept their team very contained and you had no outbreak.
You know, Barry Bloom was on a pregame show with me, Bill Lasky filling in for Marty Lurie. Let's talk about the San Francisco Giants and, the trade deadline coming up tomorrow, 1 p.m., do you think Farhan and Mr. Harris are looking to add pieces, or do you think they are trying to subtract a couple pitchers and see what they could get for youth?
You know, I'm going to punt on this one to a certain extent, not because of the Giants per se. I mean, I've looked at, you know, the level of play. I watch a lot of games. I haven't been to any, but I watch a lot of games around the league on TV. The level of play is pretty bad. You know, you have guys who, you know, didn't have enough time to get ready. Yep. There are something like 100 pitchers on the disabled list, which is double where it was last year at this time after the same amount of games. I look at the season in two ways. One is I commend everybody for taking it seriously and trying to run a real season under these conditions. But to me, the best thing for everybody is if you get through the season and you're healthy, and nobody's really gotten sick from COVID, you've really done something. And if you get to the postseason where you can reset, you know, then we'll really start talking. As far as like viewing this season in any context of what you'd usually view it on coming down to the trade deadline, I just don't think it matters whether the Giants are going to be movers and shakers at the trade deadline or not. I mean, obviously, you've seen down in San Diego, you know, they've already made a couple of moves for a reliever and another bat. And the Padres are in that situation where, you know, they already said, you know, if we don't have a good year this year, heads are going to roll. That's what Ron Fowler said at the end of last year. So even in the context of the COVID season, you know, they're going for it because their window is open right now. The Giants' window is not open. Mm-hmm. They could make a run and get to the playoffs because you have 16 teams, but they're Farhan and Kapler are in a rebuilding mode there and Harris. It's a long-term situation with them as they flush out the players who contributed most of them to the championship seasons and are at the back end of their contracts. And once you get rid of all of those, it will see what happens as they develop players. My only concern really about the Giants is that the developmental part of it and the analytical part of it, which is the way they would build the team, is shot. Mm-hmm. Who knows, you know, when development is really going to come back? Who knows when the minor league season is going to be played again? You go to the draft next year, nobody's played high school and college ball, so how are you going to judge who you're going to draft next year? The draft is shot. So all these areas where they would build in a five-year plan are really gone. And a lot of their players who would develop in a regular minor league season this year are not going to be able to develop. They're going to be playing scrimmages in an alternate site, and many of them are not playing. So I have real concern about the long-term direction of the Giants, but I just don't see them going out and doing anything unless they can get somebody to take a Cueto and take the rest of the money off their hands. But then how do you judge what prospects you're even going to get because nobody's played?
Yep. Well, you know, one of the biggest things you just said is college, no college baseball, no minor leagues. And how do you develop players with no minor leagues and they take the whole year off? Some of them, who knows what they're doing, if they're even working out at home. How does that just decipher what's next for the minor league systems? And are you going to see minor league teams pretty much balk on having seasons anymore because of not playing this year and the loss of money to all these small-town teams? Do you think that's going to hurt baseball in the long run?
Look, as I just sort of tried to say, I mean, you have no development from Little League all the way up this year. Right. So everybody from the smallest kid to a college kid and a minor league kid is not developing this year. When baseball comes back and we get through this period where we have a vaccination and people feel safe to be able to participate again, and that may not be till the end of next year, everything is going to be different. You know, they were already trashing the minor league system, Major League Baseball was, before this even started. They wanted a total revamping of the minor league system. You know, now, as you point out, how many of these teams are going to be back after having lost a whole season of revenue? I mean, I feel the same way about Major League teams. I mean, you have no revenue sharing this year for the smaller market teams. I mean, look, the A's are not a small market team. Right. You know, they've been feeding off revenue sharing for years for no reason at all, as they've been trying to develop the stadium situation at the Howard Terminal and mm-hmm. and a number of other places. And they're being phased out of that system, and their owner has deep pockets. It's just how far does he want to reach into it? But, you know, Tampa Bay, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Kansas City, there are a lot of teams in baseball that fed off revenue sharing, and there's no revenue. Mm-hmm. So there's no money filtering down from the big, higher revenue market teams like the Giants and the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Mets to filter down to those teams in baseball. And I've already heard, okay, we know the Mets are for sale. That's been a high-profile deal. But, you know, Pittsburgh is up. Baltimore is having problems. I don't know how, you know, Tampa Bay holds on. I don't even know how the Padres pay their, you know, their nut, and the city pays the nut on the stadium there, which is pretty expensive every year without any money coming in. You know, there's going to be a lot of problems in Major League Baseball financially. Mm-hmm. And if anybody expects that you're going to have a regular minor league season next year and that pitchers and catchers are going to report in February as normal to spring training camps, they've got another thing coming. It's just not happening. This is not going to be resolved by that this time next year.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Barry. The future is there's so many questions in the game of baseball and a lot of sports too. And I think you hit it really on the head of the nail right there because we don't know what's going to happen in the minor leagues as well as moving forward into the bubble if this is going to take place in the playoffs and the World Series. But good stuff again, Barry Bloom. I really appreciate your time this morning. You have a great day, and we'll talk to you again.
Thanks, Billy. It's always great talking to you. Always with one of the great guys in the clubhouse to talk to. And I kind of miss those days already at this point.
Yeah, I do too, Barry. Thanks again, buddy. Have a good time and be safe. Barry Bloom from Sportico. And we'll be right back on the pregame show talking baseball. Marty Lurie is on assignment, and Bill Lasky's in, and we'll be right back on the Sports Leader.